a very difficult school. It's a very tough school, but that's what I loved about it. Like, I felt like I was actually learning and getting somewhere in life.
Thanks for checking out Beyond High Street, where we'll converse with some incredibly successful and talented Miami alum across the worlds of business, entertainment, community, and sports. Today's pod with Mike Mizanin, a.k.a. The Miz, is strong. A former Miami student from Cleveland, he spent the last 15 years entertaining the world across reality TV, the movie screen, and now is one of the biggest names in the world in the WWE wrestling universe. He even credits a lot of this stardom back to his time on the couches of his Miami fraternity house, where those frat brothers helped create the first video submission that got him cast on TV. Let's journey back with The Miz. Give me 1 second here on who makes the name. Who comes up with that nickname? Is it a marketing team? Is it you? How's that work?
Well, first and foremost, I never was in Calgary. The reason why the Calgary Kid came about was literally one episode of I believe it was Monday Night Raw, where I got fired by Jeremy Piven. And then he basically fired me because he was the general manager of Raw for a day. And this was a way back when. And then literally I came back in a mask and called, and we were in Calgary, and I was a bad guy. And so I came back as in a mask, and everyone had cheered for me in Calgary. And then I took off the mask when I won the contract on a pole match. And literally there we, I was back on Monday Night Raw and nobody liked me anymore. So it was really a one day thing. Originally from Cleveland, Ohio, went to Miami of Ohio, I believe in like 99, 2000, 2001, around that era. But the way the Miz came about was I was on a show called The Real World, Back to New York season 10. And I was an outcast on the show. And when you're an outcast on the show, it's like everyone, there's seven people living in the house, six of them, you know, they're all strangers. We all don't know anybody. And honestly, nobody liked me and nobody would listen to me. So I created this wrestling character called The Miz. And from there, I just told everyone like it was. And it became so popular that everybody wanted The Miz more than they liked Mike. So that's kind of how The Miz kind of had its full start.
And when you pulled off that mask and you were the Calgary Kid, did you keep that name for a little bit, or was that just
nope.
One and done?
One done.
That's incredible.
One and done. Yep.
And so the world now, running around the city, running around the world with WWE, give me a day in the life.
A day in the life? Okay, I'll give you today, for instance. So this morning at 1 a.m., I landed from Austin, Texas, in New York City. Got in a car, went to my hotel, slept for 4 hours, and got up for media all day. We're promoting our Raw 25, 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw, which will be at the Barclays Center as well as the Manhattan Center. It's going to be simultaneously filmed. And so we're going to have that show. And at the Barclays Center, I will be having a match against one of the biggest stars that WWE has to offer, Roman Reigns. And we're going for the Intercontinental Championship. So I have the opportunity in the main event at Barclays in front of 20,000 people to win the Intercontinental Championship for the 8th time. And so it's been an incredible journey. And so right now I'm going from 6 a.m. till about noon. I'll be doing media on all platforms, whether it's news, radio, TV, you know, you name it, I'm doing it, podcasts. And then at noon, I will be going to Reading, PA, which is about 3 hours away, for a WWE live event, which is a non-televised event. And then this will lead all the way up till Monday Night Raw, which is the 25th anniversary.
How many nights a year do you sleep in your own bed?
You know, usually it's like Wednesday and Thursday are my nights to sleep in my own bed and hang out with my dogs and my wife. And so, I mean, it's being a WWE superstar, we're on the road 200 days a year and it's nonstop and I love it. There's nothing I would change about it. You know, I get to see the world. But obviously you do miss home. You do miss sleeping in your own bed. I miss my dogs. I miss my wife. I'll bring her on the road with me as much as possible. I mean, right now she's pregnant, so it's kind of tough to do that. But before she was pregnant, she was actually a WWE superstar as well. So we were on the road together quite a bit. But ever since this pregnancy, it kind of it's kind of a new era for me, if you will. It's a new thing. I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, this is my first time, you know, going to be a dad to a little girl. And as soon as I, it's funny, at the gender reveal, as soon as I saw pink, I saw red to any guy that wants to take my little girl out on a date. I don't know if that happens with everybody, but it happened with me.
It does. I've got a, two daughters and a son, and I've got the same red sign here for the two daughters. So go back, as you were explaining from the beginning, a couple years at Miami, then Real World, and then on to WWE. Go back to when you were in Oxford, and you're in a fraternity or not a fraternity.
Let me tell you how I got to Oxford first. So I went to Normandy High School in Parma, Ohio, and I set out to go to college because that's what you do when you're in high school. When you're from Parma, Ohio, you literally go to college next. So which colleges did I want to go to? I said Miami was number one. Ohio University was number two, and Toledo was number three. And so when I set out, I went and visited all these places by myself. My parents didn't want to come with me. So I went and visited these places by myself, and Miami just caught my eye. It was so beautiful, and just everything about it. And it was 4 hours away. I didn't want any time where my parents could actually drop in, just stop by, you know? So I wanted to be far enough away to where I could live on my own, be my own man, and do my own thing. And so Miami just caught my eye, just the beauty. I loved Uptown. You know, I loved everything about it. The people were so nice, so genuine. And I was like, you know what? This is where I want to go to school. And once I got accepted, I was so excited. I got accepted to all three schools. I chose Miami. I'll never forget my dad driving me down. I stayed at Sims Hall. And my dad had my roommate help me. My dad made a deal with my roommate. Like, listen, if you help us, we'll help you unpack. So my roommate helped him unpack. And my dad literally left right after he was done unpacking the thing. And so I basically helped him unpack. But it was the weirdest, you know, first time meeting your roommate. You know, you're already lying to him. You know, it's like, thanks, Dad. Thanks a lot. You know, but I lived in Sims Hall. It was kind of a hockey hall. Like a lot of the hockey players lived there. It was my roommate was a hockey player. My other roommate was not. So I had two roommates at the time and we got along really, really well. You know, my first year was incredible. I kind of got to go and see the sights and see what it was all about. My second year I went into, I did the fraternity. I went into Theta Chi. I'll never forget basically going to all these fraternities, learning about them, what they do. And it was pretty incredible. You know, fraternities get a bad rap, but there's a lot of charitable work and a lot of like my brothers helps me, you know, with a lot of like schoolwork. Like I had to pay for tutors when I was a freshman because I just, you know, I wasn't prepared for Miami, Ohio. It's a very difficult school. It's a very tough school, but that's what I loved about it. Like I felt like I was actually learning and getting somewhere in life. And then to have a tutor, I had to pay for one. But when I went into a fraternity, I had all these brothers that already took these classes that could teach me all these different things. And not only that, we were doing charities like Habitat for Humanity. And, you know, and it was a lot of fun. I ended up my second year actually becoming a bouncer at Attractions. I don't even think it's there anymore. But
I know exactly where that is on campus.
Yeah, it's kind of by Stadium. I don't know if that's their first run. That was there when I was there. You know, when I first went, I'll never forget the first time I went to Miami, Ohio, I went to First Run and thought it was the coolest club I've ever been to in my life.
And so you're in the fraternity scene, you're going to campus, you've got tutors, the place is beautiful, you're spending time uptown, and then all of a sudden this Real World opportunity pops up. What happened?
So there? I was sitting in my room at Theta Chi watching the Real World New Orleans on TV, and it said, do you want to try out for the Real World? And I literally said to myself, yeah, I want to try out. Well, send in a video at this address. And I go, well, I can send in a video at that address. So literally my brothers and I, everyone did not think I was going to make it onto the show. Everyone was just like, all right, whatever. It kind of took it as a joke, but they all helped me make this video. And by the way, back then, we didn't have camera phones. We didn't have all this video access. I had a VHS kind of video recorder that literally, the way I edited was I had two VCRs that literally I would put jacks into it and like press stop and then record and then stop and then record on the VHS to do my editing for this video. And once I got, I sent in the video that my brothers and I all made, I got a call back that said, "Hey, can you do this 50-page application?" And this is asking everything and anything about your life. So literally, I would sit there and be like, "Hey, is this funny? Is this funny? Read this. Read this. Is this a good answer? Is this a good answer?" So we all kind of helped me out there. And then I had two like interviews inside my room. They wanted to see the room, what my life was like. And it was interesting, man. It was a really cool process. And it took like 4 months of just interviews after interviews after interviews. And finally, I was cast on the 10th season of The Real World.
I can picture a group of guys in a fraternity house at 18, 19, 20 years old sitting around and creating that story, putting that.
Oh, my God. That's all we were doing. Like, everyone was helping. Everyone was, like, involved. It was a lot of fun.
And so you do that. That moves into some more reality. You've got
I went on to The Real World. I actually brought some of my brothers up with me. They were on the show for a little bit, actually. Great guys. And then, I went on to do challenges after challenge after challenge. Like, it just seemed like opportunity presented itself and then presented itself again and then presented itself again. And it just kept on going. And I feel like college is where you figure out what you want to do with your life. You know, it's like you go to college, you have no idea what you really want. I was in a business classes. And to be honest, when I went to Miami, Ohio, my economics and business classes, I did terrible in. But my Greek mythology and art history, I would kill it. I would get straight A's. So I didn't know what I wanted. I had no idea. And it kind of, being at Miami, being there, and then seeing that opportunity present itself, and then it kind of, another opportunity came, and I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. And I think college is a great opportunity to figure out what you want to do with your life. And it teaches you and guides you, and, you know, and it's your job to basically find those opportunities and exploit them.
And would you take, when you think of all those opportunities, looking back, acting, influencer, athlete, entertainer?
I wish I did when I was at Miami of Ohio? I wish instead of the business school, I went to their acting school, because they have, I heard they have a really good theatrical school there. It's on the other side of campus and no one ever went over there. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, on Western campus. I talk about it all the time that improv should be a must class on campus.
100%. There is no doubt in my mind, because it's who you meet. Like, sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know, and if people like you. And you need to basically, when you go into these meetings, you have to learn how to, like, when I went to LA, I actually took improv classes. And I wish at Miami, Ohio, the Western campus wasn't like, it's not that it was frowned upon, it's just no one went over there, and you never knew anyone, because it was almost like two different campuses. And I feel like it should be combined as one, because I really do believe that improv is a huge, huge part of every walk of life and everything. You really have to be, you know, if you really want to succeed, it depends on actually what you want to do in your life. But I've always found that if you're able to communicate what you want, what your wants are, people will be able to help you with that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to react to an audience in every moment in life. For you, you're doing it in front of 20,000 people in an arena or millions around the world watching, but you're going to be doing it soon with a new daughter. And I mean, there's different audiences and different reactions you have to do in every single situation.
Sure, I couldn't agree with you more.
And so those Theta Chi's, those brothers that you talk about, sounded like they were pretty significant in your life then. Do you still talk to them? Do you see Miami folks on the road, or are you just with 200?
I always get the handshake.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I'll do an autograph signing somewhere and someone will be like, literally just shake my hand, like our secret Theta Chi handshake. And I go, "Oh wow, that still is a thing. Like, people know it." Like, it's pretty cool. Like, I go all over the world and people will do the Theta Chi secrets kind of stuff. It's pretty interesting. And yeah, I still communicate kind of through, like, honestly, Twitter is huge with me and my brothers. Like, I'll sit there and, like, communicate through there.
Yeah, so let's stay there on Twitter for a second, because the world we live over here at Octagon, we're doing a lot
of social media, man. Yeah. It's everything nowadays. It's not just like for, you know, kids or whatever. It's for everyone. Like my social media, you know, follow, like my social media access, you know, is very vital in how successful some of my things will be. You know, my movies, you know, when I've done Marine 3, 4, and 5, the reason why they've been so successful is because I have a platform on social media and Instagram and Facebook where I can literally say, hey, this is coming out. So people know. It's basically like promotion.
Do you use it ever to interact or learn, or is it more promotion for you?
Always. That's how I find my news. Yeah. My news is from Twitter.
That's fascinating. And what about just on the road all the time, and it's really the only place because you're sitting there with your phone. Is there are you using the WWE, or are they helping, or are you with a group of 30 when you're old, 30 of you, sorry, on the road figuring that out? Or are you by yourself a lot just interacting, promoting, creating awareness?
I you know, WWE has a social media, a whole social media team that literally can not necessarily guide, they'll guide us, but I'm on my own. I do my own Instagram, my own Twitter, my own Facebook, you know, and I'll ask, you know, some of our social media people, like, listen, what can I do to kind of captivate my audience even more? You know, what can I do more? My problem is I always want to work harder than everybody else, because whatever I lack in talent, I will make up in hard work. And sometimes hard work will get you further than your talent will.
Yeah, so true. So 2018, daughter coming, 25th anniversary of Raw coming up very soon.
Yeah, I have Marine 6. I just filmed Marine 6 Close Quarters with Shawn Michaels and Becky Lynch from WWE. So that'll be coming out this year. Also, I'm an executive producer as well as a star of a new docuseries on USA called Ms. and Mrs. It's basically a story of my wife and I, you know, and what it takes to be a first-time parent. And yeah, so I mean, I got a lot of, and then also I'll probably be doing the new challenge, hosting the new challenge on MTV, Champs versus Stars. So got a lot of things going on.
And with that reality show, cameras live 24 hours at home?
Live 24 hours? I don't know about that.
Well, not
that.
24 hours.
You're not going to see me in the bathroom, my friend. But you're not going to see me in the bedroom, in the bathroom. Sorry, pervert. Just kidding.
but more real world type where it's following mm-hmm. around and the day in the life of.
Absolutely.
Awesome. The Miz, I appreciate the time. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you very much, man, and good luck with everything. I love that you're you know, keeping Miami, you know, going, and it's fun to talk about it, because I like, a lot of times I do these interviews and stuff, no one ever talks about like kind of the good old days, man. I love the memories I've had at Miami University.
The excitement in the Miz voice when he talks about Miami is infectious. There's something about Oxford that does that to everyone. And his comment on the importance of theater and improv rings true to me, and should for all students. He has nearly 10 million social followers across various platforms, and it's for a reason. He's a great entertainer. Thanks for listening to Beyond High Street. See you at Skippers.